Blog Talk Radio.
He that know the right and do it wrong shall be spanked with many stripes. When the heathen come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those,
fire
they will never be friends.
Fire,
you know why? You know why? Yes, them have the heart of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know people are moved with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know people are moved with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see that they run gone left mommy. We struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happen now do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and thing. Church, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Listen, you check you and me check me. And let's bring more love in the black community. Them are the heart of a pagan. Your children are the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. No. Them are the heart of demons. The children of the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Respect the father of the prophet Moses and Abraham. You have to respect the father of Jacob and Solomon. Respect the creator of many nations. He made the birds, he made the beasts, the fishes of the ocean. And fastened them together with his mighty. And he made the man, he made woman, children, the future of the land. So who is you to disrespect the creator, man? 72 nations bow down and crown him conquering one. It would be beautiful in the sight of God, the Holy One, to see the unification of my nation. Them have the heart of a pagan.
Watch that.
Your children have the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty
every time.
Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy. To struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happen no do not seem so amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and penitentiary. Church, dead, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me, believe me. Them have the heart of a pagan. The children have the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Right of walk in the continent of the Almighty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all. I ask you, Father, to please forgive me for my sins. I ask you, Father, to give ear to my, and I ask that it be a sweet savor to your nose. Father, thank you for another day of life. Thank you for another Shabbat, Father. Thank you for another day of rest. Thank you for protecting, leading, and guiding me through this tumultuous week. Father, I ask that you put your words within my mouth that I may speak only what's pleasing to you. I ask, Father, on behalf of my brothers and sisters and your family, Israel, that you forgive us for all of our sins, that our iniquities are never before your face, that you always cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, Father. When we do wrong, Father, chastise us in your loving kindness to bring us back onto your path. Father, that you continue to order our steps in your word, that you continue to build and furnish your warriors, Israel. Father, above all, we ask that you continue to grow those fruits of the Spirit within us, Father. Prune us when necessary so that more fruit can grow. We thank you for the loving kindness that you have shown to us through your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. And it's in his name that we praise, glory, and honor, especially this day that you have set apart for man, a time for us to come together and converse. So hallelujah from all of Israel. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. This is your brother, Deuel. Surprise, surprise, surprise. our brother, Ariel, he got scared. And, he was nervous about doing this blog talk thing again. He said, oh, brother, Deuel, can you step in for me? Help me out. Oh, my goodness. You should have saw his knees shaking. It was just bad. I was like, brother, come on. Hey, chill out. Don't be so nervous. I got you. He said, thank you, brother, thank you. I owe you always there for me. No, I'm just messing with y'all. He had a matter he had to take care of, so he asked me to step in for him. Yahweh be with him, and I know he's going to get me back for that one. But nevertheless, you got me tonight. When my brother asked me to step in for him, I told him, no problem, it's not a big deal. You know, anything for my brother. And I got to thinking, I said, wow, okay, Abba. Because he said, only do it for the night. You know, next week, he's going to pick back up and everything and all that. And I said, okay, no problem. So, all right, Abba, what you want me to talk about? Because it's only for this night, you know, so I really don't want to get into the stuff that you gave me when it's, you know, my turn on the blog talk. And, you know, and so what you want me to say? You know, what am I supposed to talk about? You know, he gave me a word. So y'all going to get it, you know, what he gave me. And it's about credit. You know, it's about credit and speech. You know, a lot of things, when we think about credit, when I say credit, I mean, what is your name worth? You know, because our names are worth something. You know, some people would say, you know, his name carries weight and this, that, and another. So what is your name worth? Are you building a good name, or do you have a good credit score? Because when you think about credit, it goes on the weight of your name. You know, people who have the nice 720 credit score, you know, their name carries a lot more weight in the banking world or financial world or whatever than a person who has a score of like 400. So, you know, that's what he put on my mind to talk about tonight. And it just so happens that I was on the bus going to work a couple days ago. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. And when I go to work, some of these high school kids on the bus, and it just so happens that, you know, normally I have earphones in, and I don't want to hear their conversations, you know, the things that they're talking about, you know, it bothers me to an extent, and it reminds me of where I was when I was younger. You know, because a lot of things that they talk about, I used to talk about. You know, a lot of things they did, I used to do. You know, and sometimes it just reminds me of the foolishness I was in. It just so happens that my earphones have shorts in them, have a short. I thought it was one ear. It's a short in both ears. So these earphones are no good. I don't enjoy my music and when it's going in and out of one ear and this, that, and another. So I didn't have any earphones to listen to. And I overheard a conversation that these two young men were having on the bus. So one of the young men was talking to the other young man about a young lady and their relations and this, that, and another. And, you know, and it just so happens that the other young man had relations with the same girl. And then the girl ends up being the girlfriend of one of their friends who they both know. So they were sitting up there talking about this stuff and saying all these different things. But then at the end, one of the young men who started the conversation said, you know, when I get older, I don't want no woman like that. I don't want no girl like that. I don't want no girl that's been out there doing this, doing that with another, and had sex with all these different dudes and yada, yada, yada. And in my mind, I'm going, don't you understand you are shortening that chance? You know, you're making that chance a lot slimmer by doing these things with these young girls, and, you know, you're ruining their name, you know, because that's what he was talking about, you know, a woman who has that reputation of being loose, you know, as they call a loose woman, you know, and men have that same reputation too, you know, we're not excluded, you know, a man has that reputation among women. Women have that reputation among men. So it's vice versa. You know, I'm pretty sure a woman doesn't want a man that's been out there laying with every woman that they found, you know, that had a whole bunch of relations. You know, the same way these young men didn't want that either. But it's good that he thought about that. But he's not thinking thoroughly. He's not thinking the whole picture, you know, because if you say that, then you can't be doing what you're doing with these women. You can't be passing these women around like a blunt, like a coal, as some of the people say, some of the rappers say, pass around like a coal, you know. So you're ruining her name and your name. You know, you're lowering your credit score, so to speak. But that's what the Most High gave me to talk about today. So we're going to look at a couple verses, you know, a couple verses within the Word, and just ponder on some of the things that the Most High says. So, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1, it reads, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So, this is one of the proverbs that a pretty smart dude by the name of Solomon wrote. And he's speaking on your name. And the word name is, you know, in the Hebrew is Shem, and it's talking about character or your actual name. See, because we have a, you know, one of the things that one of the brothers was talking about at last Torah portion was about branding and how the Most High wants businessmen and the brand of Yahweh, you know. And your name is associated with that brand, with that whatever it is that you're putting your name with. So he gave the example of Under Armour having Steph Curry, you know. So every time Steph Curry makes a shot, does a makes an impossible shot, or wins a championship, or breaks a record, or whatever he's doing, you know, Under Armour is getting more exposure, getting more, you know, as the brothers say, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. They're getting more because of the name of Steph Curry. And Steph Curry is getting more because he's showing his athletic prowess and this, that, and other, and more people are going to want to be associated with him. Well, same thing with what we just read. A good name is to be chosen rather than silver and gold, rather than riches. So instead of you trying to amass wealth, your name can amass wealth for you, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, it's better to be associated and be an honorable man than to have all the money in the world. Honorable man, honorable woman, have all the money in the world. It's a lot of rich snakes out there. You know, it's a lot of people out there with a lot of wealth and no honor to them, none whatsoever. You can't trust them as far as you can throw them. So what good is their wealth? There's many people out there who have the ability to do for folks and won't. They say they will, but they won't. So what good are they? What good is their wealth? And what good is their name? So he says, choose a good name rather than riches. He says, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A man who has a good name and owes you a favor is better than having silver and gold. Just got an example today. Brother knows another brother. Met a brother and got a job because he knows a guy. And he found favor in that man's eyes. So the man hired him at a spot where I know you have to have experience working, you know, because it just so happens I know somebody who works there also, you know. But because he was in a favorable position with a gentleman who's on the inside, you know, who has a good name, who can push papers, push stuff through, you know, who name carries some weight, you know. Now some of the red tape, if you will, can be bypassed because I know him and I'm going to vouch for him. And this guy is going to do right. A lady on my job, one of my kitchen managers, is vouched for a gentleman whose name, when you think of this guy, don't have a good name. So I'm kind of waiting to see how this one plays out. But, you know, this guy, his name don't carry weight like that. You know, this guy was not a good professional, so to speak. But he knew somebody who had some favor, and her name carried some weight for him. Yep, I'm still waiting to see how this one will play out. But savor is good. He said you rather have that than silver and gold. You would rather have sort of like those gods, like the Godfather. You would rather have a favor from Don Corleone than a bunch of money. You know, a favor was worth something more than what you can get with silver and gold. Well, what about the favor that you find in the Most High? That's worth more than silver and gold. You know, and your name can carry some weight with the Most High. We're going to get to that a little bit later. So, let's go to Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 1. And it reads, this is Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 1. And it reads, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. So, a good name is better than precious ointment. So now he's comparing this to something that can ease your pain or possibly save your life. You know, this is what he's comparing a name to, right? So both of these books was written by Solomon. So where did he get like that? You know, where did Solomon get an idea to write something like that? Let's look in the book of Genesis. Remember, it's talking about a name. Book of Genesis, chapter 18. We're going to read verse 1 through 5. Genesis 18, starting at verse 1, and it reads, and Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away from me, I pray thee, from thy servant. So, now, if you don't know, this particular servant that's speaking is Abraham. And Yahweh appeared to him, plains of Mamre. And what Abraham said to these three men that appeared, one of them being Yahweh, he says, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight. Same word that we was talking about earlier. It's better to have favor than it is silver and gold. So, he has favor in the sight of the Most High, right? Pray thee, he said, pass not away, I pray thee from thy servant. Verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So he asked something of the Most High, Abram did. He said, look, Father, if I found favor in your eyes, let me take care of you. Let me get some water and wash your feet. Let me fix you something to eat. You know, because this is why you came by here. And he said, and they said, Go ahead and do it. So he asked of the Most High, and he was allowed to do it because he found favor in their sight. Because this is why he said it. He said, if I found favor in your sight, allow me to do these things. So, okay, go ahead and do it, acknowledging that he found favor in their sight. So, let's skip down to verse 17. Genesis 18, starting at verse 17. And it says, and Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? So now Yahweh is speaking on, am I going to reveal something? Am I going to keep what I'm about to do hidden from Abraham? So he says, and Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So should I hide this thing that I'm about to do from Abraham because I know he's going to be a great nation, and every nation on this earth is going to be blessed in him? In other words, his name is going to carry some weight on every nation on this planet. Is the word of Yahweh true? He said that, and everybody on this planet want to be connected with this gentleman. His name carries that much weight within the world, even to this day. But back to this. Verse 19. So he says, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh. Remember, we're reading this, to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So, he says Abraham is going to be great, every nation is going to be blessed in him, and then he goes and says this. He said, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. Right? And they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that he has spoken on him. So not only is Abram going to do right, but Abram is going to tell his kids to do right. He's going to command his kids to do right and to keep the way of the Most High, keep the way of Yahweh. Right.
Let's go to Proverbs 22:6.
Proverbs 22:6. It reads, child, in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, this is something that Solomon knew, that his forefather did. He trained up, he commanded his children in the way to go. What was the way to go? In the way of Yahweh, it said. He's going to show them and teach them and command them to keep this way, right? Now, before we go there, let's look at something in the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Okay. In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, and 3 and verse 9. No, chapter 3 and verse 7. Let's start at verse 7. So, Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Verse 9. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." In other words, now this is John the Baptist, for those who don't know. He's telling these folks, okay, the Sadducees is coming, the Pharisees are coming. He calls them a brood of vipers. Who told y'all about this coming destruction for y'all? Now you want to repent. But guess what? Bring fruits that are meet for repentance. In other words, if you don't really do it, if you don't want to do it, you ain't going to be real with it, don't do it. That's what he's saying. If you ain't going to be real with it, don't do it. Don't just come up here and play the part because you want to get baptized. You want to get baptized. Don't just play the part. I want to say something, but I can't. Because that'd be kind of... He's talking about speech. How Satan even tries when you are speaking the word of the Most High. He tries. He don't stop. He really don't. But if you're not going to be real with it, don't do it. That's what he's telling them. Worthy of repentance. In other words, turn your heart back to the Most High. Actually understand that when you are taking this baptism, you're supposed to change. Supposed to be a change in you. You're supposed to bring about a fruit, something that's supposed to be produced in you. So he says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." You can't do this just because Abraham is in your lineage. You ain't getting off on Abraham's name. Just because you are the quote-unquote chosen people. Just because you're woke now. Just because you're claiming the name of Hebrew Israelite. Just because you're not getting off just because of that. Claiming, where Abraham see, so what? That's what John is saying right here. So what? Don't even think that was in yourself, let alone let it come out your mouth. He says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." I'm telling you. Because you are native born. Just because you're homegrown, just because you're of that, not the wild vine, but the tame vine, just because you're of the stock of Israel, it don't make a difference. None of that makes a difference if you're not bring forth meat, stuff that's meat for repentance. If you're still out here doing things of that's move forward. But we wanted to put that in there because they said they're the children of Abraham, but they weren't doing what Abraham was doing. That's the point we was making. Abraham trained up his kids and charged them to do this and charged them to do that, but they didn't keep the charge by the time we get to this point. They did not keep the charge of Abraham. All right? So let's go back one, back to what we was going back in Proverbs 22:6. So Abraham's name was the credit. When I looked at this verse in Hebrew, something stuck out to me. Now, the word in the Hebrew in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the word for go and the way he should go, that word is pay, which is the mouth. Now, I understand why they, you know, I can kind of understand why they would say, you know, why they would translate it as go, you know, because things flow from your mouth, they go out your mouth and this, that, and another. But he's talking about training up a child. And when you read how it's talking about training up a child in the way he should go or in the way he should speak. Because when you're talking about the mouth, you're talking about speech. Now, think of people who, the Kennedys, or any aristocracy, any the Putins, the Rothschilds, any time that you hear the popes, any time that you hear them talk, it's a certain way they talk. Each family talks where you know is a representation of their family, you know. Well, the Most High wanted us trained up and speak in a way that is representative of him. We ought to be trained in a way of speech that everybody knows this is Abraham's child. This is Yahushua's brother. This is Yah's child. So we have to be trained up in that way. How does our speech affect us, you know, in the eyes of the Most High? You know, we do a lot of things and, you know, our actions. He holds us accountable for our actions. He says he takes vengeance on our deeds. He does. That's what the word says. But our speech, when I was looking into some things, our speech is just as important as our deed. And this is, you know, when he gave this to me, it was one of those type lessons where it's smacking me in the mouth and teaching me at the same time, you know, because sometimes my speech can be horrible. Sometimes my speech can be really rough around the edges, you know, even when I'm not using profane words, as they say, even when I'm not in an angered state, sometimes in it offends people, you know. But this is one of those things that when you learn about it, you work towards it, you know. So that's the next project with DLL. But let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting at verse 1. We'll go 1 through 6. They talk about this speech a little bit. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. It reads, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of Elohim, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know, and when I was reading this, you know, he tells us what the sacrifice of fools is a couple verses down. But I was like, whoa, wow, okay. And so, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of Elohim, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. The sacrifice of fools is given. They don't understand that this is an evil thing. Now, verse 2, it says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before Elohim. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before Elohim. That means watch what you say at all times. Watch what you say at all times. Because anytime we utter anything, it is before Yahweh. He is the hearer of them all. And we're going to see that a little bit later. Be rash when you're in a state. And that word rash in the Hebrew, that word is bahal, number 926. And it means to tremble inwardly. That is to be alarmed or agitated, to make alarm or be agitated. By implication, to hasten anxiously. In other words, when these emotions rouse up in you, control your mouth. You get angry, control your tongue. You get sad, control your tongue. Whatever feeling is rising up in you, control your tongue, because what's coming out is going up before the Most High. He's hearing this. And it's affecting your credit score with him. Right? So he says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before Elohim. For Elohim is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy word be few. Verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, whose voice is known by multitudes of words. So I got to thinking about, wow, Martin Lawrence, Chris Tucker, Eddie Murphy, all these comedians, you know, the multitude of words that they come out. And a lot of times it's utter foolishness. It's not to edify anybody, it's to get a joke. You know, and a lot of times it's in vulgarness that we're laughing. You have to be mindful of these things, because some of those jokes we repeat. Now it's coming out of our mouths, and it's going up before the Most High. Let's continue. He said, for a dream coming through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto Elohim, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasures in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. He says, better is thou shouldst not vow that thou shouldest now that thou shouldest vow and not pay it. Verse 6. Right? Now, what I said, the sacrifice of fools is the multitude of words. That's the sacrifice of fools. I almost forgot that. In verse 1, when he talks about it's better be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Listen, you know, as this wise guy once told me, you know, this guy pretty smart. He told me, seek to understand, be understood. Seek ye first to understand, then to be understood, is what he told me. No different than my mother telling me, you got two ears and one mouth. You think you ought to listen more than you talk. Saying the exact same thing. You know, in the word it says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Verse 6. And this is what I... Verse 6, he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should Elohim be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thine hand? So, there's this old saying, don't let your mouth write a check. That's what he's saying here. See, because it's in cooperation with vows, right? So we know when you utter a vow towards the Most High, you better keep it. But definitely, he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. If you go down to that last clause, it says, wherefore should Elohim be angry at thy voice? See, you opened your mouth and you said these things. You said it. Right? That's what he says. Why should the Most High be angry at your voice? And because you said these things, man destroyed the work of thine hands. So you wonder why ain't nothing working for you? Are you keeping your vows to the Most High? Did you utter something to the Most High? When I was reading this stuff, wow. See, because I always, in my mind, and I understand why Yahushua says the things. Now, he says, you have heard in the past that this, that, and another. But I say, and what I'm referring to, let's go look at it. Let me find that. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 27. Okay? He says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Punish you for the deed. So, the deed of adultery, the sin of adultery, is sexual relations with a man, a married man having extramarital affairs. Married woman having extramarital affairs, going outside of the bonds of marriage and having sex with someone who is not your wife or not your husband. That is the deed of adultery. But Yahushua said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you already committed it in your heart. So, you're looking on this woman to commit adultery, right? You want this woman, and you're lusting after her in your heart. What's the next thing that's going to happen? You're going to verbalize it. You're going to. You're going to say what you want to do with that woman, or if you're a woman, that man, you're going to verbalize it. And now, sin has, it says in the word, given birth. So he wants you to stop it before that deed even gives birth. Uproot it before that seed sprouts and takes root. Uproot it, dig it up, plant it out, get it out of there. You know? Because after you verbalize it, the next step is working towards it. That's what he's saying. So, all right, where are we? But that's why he doesn't want us to catch it. Get it around. Right? Now, we really please see Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. Forgive me, family, if I'm moving too fast. Forgive me. Well, let's read verse 27 first. So, because 27 and 28 go together. Now, Proverbs 17:27 says this. He that has knowledge spareth his words. So, like we was reading back in Ecclesiastes, the fool is going to multiply his words. He's going to use a multitude of words. But he that has knowledge spares his words. He's a man of few words. And it says, and a man of understanding, now verse 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, because he's playing the part of nobody knows what you don't know until you tell. And that's a nice way of saying, well, somebody told me, nobody knows how dumb you are until you open your mouth. That's another one of those sayings I picked up. But it's the truth, you know. But it says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. In other words, when you do as the wise man does, you're counted wise because you're not running your mouth. So if you're not running your mouth, what are you doing? You're listening. You're gaining knowledge. Knowledge is being taken in. You're gaining knowledge. Not blabbering out foolishness because you're holding your peace, right? He says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. Excuse me. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Why? He's constantly gaining knowledge. Constant. Right? So, you have the wise man's speech, you have the foolish man's speech. Let's look at a little bit more, a couple more passages. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Now, this goes back to bringing up a child, right, in the way that he should go. Now, he says this. He said, then, chapter 15, verse 15, Ecclesiastes 2, 15. He says, then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? Solomon is pondering on these things, pondering on his life, right? And as smart as he is, he's going to die just like any dummy, any foolish man. Right? That's what he's saying. The way people remember the wise man is the way people going to remember the foolish man. And eventually, it's all going to be forgotten. It's not going to be any remembrance of him. Right? He says, and because of that, verse 17, therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Right? 18. Yea, I hated all my labor I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. So, normally, when you working hard and this, that, and another, you leave what you have to your kids, your sons, if you have an older son or a child. You leave it to your kids, right? He says he hated all the labor which he had taken under the sun, because in the end, it ain't for him, it's for your kids, right? He said, I'm going to leave it to the man that should be after me. Verse 19. And this is the part that these next couple of verses, right? Verse 19. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool. So all this work you're doing and you're laboring and everything, and you show your child the correct way, who knows if he's going to be a wise man or a fool? Who knows if he's going to stay on the path that you showed him or get off of? Who knows which direction this child is going to go? Just because you raise a child up and show him the direction that he's going to go, that don't mean he's going to stay on it. That don't mean that he's going to choose what daddy showed him. It don't. You know? I know a woman who, she told me, her mother never cussed at her. Her mother never, a woman who would curse her child out and this, that, and another. Well, she didn't follow after her mother, because she curses her child out. So she didn't stay on that path that she was on, that she was set on. She didn't stay on that path. You know, some of the worst kids that you could find was the preacher's kids or the police kids. And everything. They didn't stay on the path that mom and pops put them on. They wanted to do everything else. Look at the Amish. They have a day where they go out and just experience the world. I forget, when they get a certain age, they go out and they experience the world. They get to send it up. for a day. They do whatever they want to do. And because of that day, a lot of them get off the path that they were on. You know, so, verse 19 again. And who knows whether he should be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. So, you know, Solomon's been thinking about this stuff. I don't know how my son is going to, I don't know. I know what I did, and I know how I labored, and I know how I used the wisdom given to me, but my kids, they might not. I'm not sure. Verse 20. He says, therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man, and this is it, for there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored there, shall he leave it for his portion, also is vanity and a great evil. Now, when he was saying all these things, why he hated it, that's why he hated it. It wasn't so much, let's say I built the house, and I built this house from the ground up, and I give it to my son, and my son messes it up. That's an evil in his mind. But it's just a house. What he was talking about, I'm laboring to gain this wisdom, gain this knowledge, gain in this word equity in the Hebrew. Number 3788, the word is kishron, and it means success, advantage. But it comes from another word, number 3787. That word is kashar, and it means to be straight or right, by implication to be acceptable, also to succeed or prosper. So, you have some people who labor in wisdom and knowledge and to be accepted. You don't know if your kids are going to be like that. And now you didn't show them. You didn't did all this laboring to be accepted and show him how to be accepted and how to be wise and how to be knowledgeable. But then they get off the path and don't stay on the path. And you didn't did all this laboring. And they say, no. He said, that's vanity and a great, because who should we be laboring to get accepted by? Who should we be laboring to show that we are wise, that we are knowledgeable? He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved. So if we're studying, what are we doing? We're laboring, because that's what study is. It's labor or work to gain knowledge or understanding of knowledge. You know? That's what you're doing. You have information, And now you're going to study this information, and you're going to gain an understanding of what's there, of the information that's there. That's what this world is. This whole world is nothing but information. And it's our job to study it, even one another. We're supposed to know one another like the back of each other's hand, so to speak. You know? But he says, study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, or accepted unto Yahweh. That's who approval, or in this case, Elohim, Yah, unto the mighty one. That's who approval we are looking for. We want. He says, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings. In other words, don't open up your mouth too much. Babbling, blah, 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 blah. The discussions. Empty soundings. In other words, just don't talk for the sake of talking. He says, shun those things. Shun those profane and vain battles, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That's what's going to happen with you. The same thing that happens with that fool when he multiplies his words. He's increasing in ungodliness and don't know it. He said he's not thinking that he's doing evil by all the excess of his words. He don't know it. Right? So that's who we're looking to be accepted by. But he says for those, he said, I'm leaving all this stuff. I'm leaving this knowledge. I'm leaving this wisdom. I'm leaving this understanding for the next generation, and they're not accepting this. That's a great evil. You know, a lot of times, and that's why I pulled, you know, something my brother said, you know, that wise brother, that was a hard though. You know, he gets a little, yeah, he gets a cookie today. You know, about the whole seek ye first to understand, then to be understood, as he told me. You know? But you really think about a lot of things that your parents say to you, and you might not understand them then when they're saying it to you. But you ponder on those things when you get a little bit older and you understand what they mean. You know? I get it when mom said this and mom said that, you know. And it's because she told me, you know, basically shut up and listen, that I became a better listener, you know. You don't know, you don't really get the knowledge that they're giving you at that time, you know. That's why we have to constantly over those things. They're there, and the Most High brings them to your mind at different times because he wants you to ponder on them. He wants you to get that understanding. You know, and it's the same way with his word. Something that you don't understand at that time, he'll bring back to you at a later time. You don't have to gulp this down, you know, this. It's little by little, morsel by morsel, that he'll get you, you know, that he'll get you there. Because like I said, when you think about speech and some of the things that we ain't even get to the other couple verses about speech, you know, I didn't realize how important it was in the eyes of the Most High. And we only got two more verses we're going to look at. Well, we only got two that I got written down, I should say. But it made me realize how much the emphasis that he has on our speech also is, you know, a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on appearance. You know, gotta have your beard, your locks, and all this other stuff. You know, but Yahushua talked about the way they met. He talked about even, and he was talking about that in tithing. And yes, this is tithing. You're supposed to tithe and you're supposed to do this, but he talked about what about the weightier matters? You know? So, yeah, you're giving this cumin and this mint and anise. You're giving all these herbs and they smell good. They're nice, fragrant herbs, what he named. You're not giving justice and mercy. You're not giving those things. You're not tithing that. You're not giving a portion of that. You know? He said you should have did the latter and not omit the other one either. Because you're right to tithe, but you're wrong for not showing mercy. You know? And so when you think about deeds and speech, he punishes you for your deeds, but your speech goes right along with that. So, as he said, as we read, why should the Most High get mad at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? So, let's look at a couple more scriptures. And look at the book of James. We're going to start there. And we want to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. It's kind of opened my eyes too a little bit when I was reading this today. So James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all." And the part that got me. He says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So he says, okay, you're going to offend people in a lot of ways. But if your speech don't offend somebody, you're a perfect man and you have the ability to control your whole body. Right? Now, what I love about this one and the next verse we're going to go to is that he literally gives physical things in this world as his support, you know, because we're supposed to learn from everything in this world, everything, you know. The word says the knowledge of good and evil. He's supposed to know good and evil. And then the Most High said that he became like God, knowing good and evil. So it's a lesson in everything. We have to gain knowledge in everything that we do. But when he said this, he said, "If any man offend not in word, the same as the perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body, I was like, oh, man, okay. He's going to give the reason. He says, verse 3, he said, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. But we turn the whole body. So for anybody who doesn't know what a bit is, it's a little piece of metal that goes within the horse's mouth. They cuff it around the horse's mouth, and the horse bites on it. So when you guide a horse, what you do is you pull the little leather strap attached to the bit. The bit moves the horse's head, and the horse's whole body goes whichever way that. And this is a real-world thing. That's how you ride a horse. You want it to go left, pull the bit left, and the horse's body will go left, right? So he says, behold, he said, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouths that they may obey us. But we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whitherso the governor listeneth. So what he's talking about is the rudder. Now, at that time, he had these big boats. Think about a sailboat. He had a really big sailboat with his sail on it. And what makes that thing move in any direction is the wind that catches, the sail catches the wind that's being pushed. But if you want that boat to turn, you got to turn the rudder, which is the smallest part of the boat. It's a very small part. So, and it guides the boat. But when you turn that rudder, the whole boat turns. This is real life stuff that he's giving us. But he's comparing that to our speech. Right? So, verse 5. That he gives them examples, right? He says, verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. In other words, your tongue is a very small part of your body. It's not as big as your chest. It's not. But it can boast unlike your chest. It can do damage unlike your chest. As it says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Right? He says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. There's been plenty of places that burn. I used to live on 21st Street. And back in 2004, it was a couple houses down. It was an abandoned house. They tried to get on, they tried to get the city to board it up and this, that, and another. And one day, some junkies, let me not call them junkies, I apologize for that. Some drug users were smoking crack rock, smoking crack inside of that abandoned house. Well, that one rock, which is a very small rock, you know, got too hot for them, fell out their pipe, and started a fire. And that fire burnt down four houses, all from a hot crack rock. Four houses. Yep. One of those houses was mine. My mom's. But behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. That was a very small crack rock, and it burnt down four houses. Real life experience. It don't take a whole lot, you know, when you go camping. You know, one of the things they tell you to do is make sure that those your can't find is out. You know, make sure you put them out completely, because it don't take much to set that whole forest on fire. A couple fallen leaves and the wind blowing the right way, you got an inferno on your hands. Look at California in the summertime. Brush fires. Just because it's hot, a spark catches. Boom. And now you got helicopters dumping water on them, fighting them. You know? But he says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Verse 6, fire. A world of iniquity. You hear what he said about this thing that's within our mouth? It's a world by itself of lawlessness. That's what it says. That's what it's described as. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. So, same way, and that's why he gave those examples of the bit with the horse, of the rudder with the ship. If your speech can defile your whole body, he says, your speech, and remember, we're talking about credit. Credit also, that name. That name we want to be associated with. Because as great as Abraham was, there's one greater than Abraham that we want to be associated with. But in order to be doing that, we have to get this under control. We have to. We have to get this member of the body under control. Right? He says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 7. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpent, and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Take an animal. They got whales jumping through hoops. They got killer whales jumping through hoops. Dolphins, who use more of their brain than humans do, they come to find out. Bend to the will of man, charmers. Right? So he says, every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poisons. He's talking about our speech. Our speech is a world of iniquity. It's a world by itself outside of the rest of us. He says, verse 9, therewith bless we Yah, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of Yah. We do this stuff. We do this. How does the Most High see this? How is it? How is he looking at us when we say, Father, Baruch Atah Yahweh Eloheinu Melech Haolam, whatever, and then we curse our brother?
Hallelujah. Let all everything that had breath praise Yah. And then you curse your brother.
I believe it was the Messiah said, how can you love a God that you don't see, but hate that brother that you do see every day? How is that possible? Man is an enigma. We are a perpetual puzzle box. Where's that puzzle that's always missing a piece? Always. You always get that one jigsaw puzzle where one piece is missed. It's just not complete. Verse 9 again. Therewith bless we Yah, even the Father, and therewith curse we men after which are made after the similitude of Yah. Out of the same mouth proceed of blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so be. Here's some more examples of the world around us, and he tells us this is why. And when I was reading this, I was like, oh, who can argue with this? Who's going to say that this is wrong? Who's going to? It's like what Paul said. Where is the wise man? Bring him on. Where is it? Where's the debaters? Where's the people who are? Where's your scholars at? Where are they? Who are they? Who's going to debate this? Well, verse 11 says, just a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water. Okay. You have a spring water flowing up, where half of the water you can drink and the other half you can't. Does that occur in nature? Either in that one spring, you can either drink the water or you can't drink the water. It is just that simple. It's not both. Verse 12, more evidence, he says. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? And I'm laughing because it's so beyond simple. A fig tree, can it? Yes or no? No, it can't do that. A fig tree cannot bear olives. You know? He said, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. He answered all of them. It ain't possible. It's not possible. And he's saying this in connection with specifically blessing the Most High and then cursing our brothers. Our salt, we're trying to give off fresh water and salt water at the same time, and it's not possible. Not possible. Right? He says, who is the wise man and it doeth with knowledge among them? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not, and lie not against the truth. Be honest with yourself. That's what he's saying. You got problems, you got issues. Work them out. But don't be sitting up here hollering about praise God and hating your brother. Don't do that. That's not good. Not good at all. All right?
Last verse. We're going to look at the book of Matthew, chapter 12. We're going to read verses 30 through 37. So the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Starting at verse 30. And it reads, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men." So, talking about speech. Now, also he was talking about, well, we're going to read, he's going to explain right now. In verse 32, he says, "Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So, understand what our speech, because he's talking about your speech. He's talking about your speech, what's coming out of your mouth. So you want to talk stuff to me while I'm here. I'm here to forgive you. So that's what I'm going to do. Right? And that's what he was talking about in the verse before. While I'm here, I'm going to forgive you. See, but once you got my spirit and you talk trash about me, forgive you then. Because I'm going to impart my spirit upon people. I'm going to impart it on everybody. But whoever accepts it, now you're one with me. Now, you got my spirit. Now you want to talk trash about me? You want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Blaspheme this part of me that I gave to you? Not going to forgive you for it. Not in this world or the next. In other words, what he said is this. If you're ashamed of me here, I'm going to be ashamed of you in front of my Father. You deny me here, I'm going to deny you in front of my Father. Right? So what he says, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Verse 33. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Just the same thing James said. Ain't bearing olive berries. Ain't doing it. That's how you know a fig tree is a fig tree. You see figs. Right? So he says, you make the tree good, either be good or be bad. Pick a side. What you gonna do? Pick a side. Same thing that he said way back when. Fire, water. Which one you want? He said, pick one. I'm telling you, pick life, death. Which one you want? I'm telling you, I'm commanding you, like Abram commanded his kids, to choose life. You're my son. You're my kid.
I'm going to direct you in which way to go. So I'm telling you to pick life. But ultimately, it's your choice. So are you going to be the wise son, or are you going to be the foolish son? Which one are you going to be? What you going to do? Right? So he says, you're going to make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Verse 34. O generation of vipers. That sounds familiar. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? And this is where he really breaks it down. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your mind messed up. And that's why your speech is messed up. Why is the tongue a world of iniquity by itself? Because that's what's going on in your head. A bunch of lawlessness is going on in your mind. A carnal mind is enmity. It won't be subjected to his law. Flat out. That's what's going on with you. A whole bunch of rule breaking, lawlessness is going on in your head. And that's why your speech is the way it is. According to Mashiach. And I ain't arguing with him. He says, verse 34 again. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. So if you have good things on your mind, you're going to bring forth good speech. Right? And he says, an evil man out of the evil treasures bringing forth evil things. Just that simple. What's on your mind that's causing you to speak in this manner? What are you concentrating on? What direction are you facing? Are you facing the way that your father told you to face toward life? Or are you picking something up? Is your credit score at 720? Or is that 350? Where are you at? You know? Verse 36. He says, all right, let's go back to 35. Get the point. A good man, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So when you go back to Solomon, and he says, the fool multiplies his words, he's going to have to give an account for all those words. He's going to have to. All that evil that he wrought with those words. All right? He says, but I say, in verse 37, just open my eyes. Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned. Yeah. Plain and simple. Tell them the Most High what's on your mind. It tells the world what's on your mind. Is lawlessness on your mind, or is life on your mind? Where are you? Are you on that path that Abraham trained his kids up in? to be that great nation that will bless every other nation. He told Abraham, you will be blessed. You're going to be a blessed. You're blessed, and you're going to be a blessed. And Abraham trained his kids. He taught his kids. So are we following the steps of our forefathers, or are we following the steps of our father? One more verse. You gotta find it. I know it's in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, he says, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So, our speech is quite to himself said, it will either justify us or condemn us. So, you know, and with that said, don't be afraid to talk, you know. Don't be afraid. But when we talk, you know, because a lot of people take that and they think you can't have a personality now. Sure, you can have a personality. You know. Let those words, even a joke is good for people, you know. Sometimes a brother might be down and he might need to be cheered up. So a joke, a smile will uplift that brother. Things like that. So don't be afraid to speak. You know, I feel like a disclaimer right now. You know, but we don't want foolish speech. You know, we want words that's going to give life. You know, because. Like the word said, if we're able to control that tongue, we can master this body. Nothing will be out of our reach as far as self-control goes. You know? So, that's it. And this is your brother, Dale Well. You know, filling in for my brother, Ariel. We'll be back with you next week, and, you know, those who will be at Shabbat service tomorrow, we have our brother Ahab L. in the morning, and our brother Ariel teaching the Torah portion, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shabbat Shalom, family. Yahweh continue to bless each and every one of us with his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding. Stay guarded up. Stay strong. Stay shalom. Stay shalom. That's our new word. Shalom, family.